We began today imagining the ability to buy peace. Were that possible, another very popular commodity would be renewal. Let's jump back into our discussion now and see what George has for us.
So now let's turn from the peace of Christ, which we have begun to understand as being really a state of the soul when he has given us freedom and forgiveness, to mercy, because mercy is such an important part of God's heart and of what he desires from us. Here's what Paul says in his letter to Titus. This is from Titus 3:3-8. Once we too were foolish and disobedient. We were misled and became slaves to our many lusts and pleasures. Our lives were full of evil and envy, and we hated each other. But when God, our Savior, revealed his kindness and love, he saved us not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He washed away our sins, giving us a new birth and new life through the Holy Spirit. He generously poured out the Spirit upon us through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Because of his grace, he declared us righteous and gave us confidence that we will inherit eternal life. This is a trustworthy saying, and I want you to insist on these teachings so that all who trust in God will devote themselves to doing good. These teachings are good and beneficial for everyone. So let's remember that he saved us not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. And that mercy isn't just forgiveness, as great a gift as that is in itself. Rather, when he washed away our sins, his mercy also gave us new birth and new life through the Holy Spirit. Well, what is the nature of this new life? It is the very breath of life itself, the Holy Spirit in us. Here's what Holy Scripture tells us about the breath of life. Pause and recall Jesus' encounter with Nicodemus. The teaching that Jesus gave to Nicodemus is just what is reflected in Paul's words above. And just as in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit there, Ruach HaKodesh, means breath holy, so in the Holy Spirit, pneumatos hagio, also means breath holy. That's the Greek. In both languages, Hebrew and Greek, the word for spirit also means breath. In Genesis, it says this, Genesis 2:7, and the Lord God formed man's body from the dust of the ground and breathed into it the breath, ruach, of life, and the man became a living person. So think of the image of a child when it is born, and this recalls Jesus' discussion with Nicodemus as well. It hasn't breathed when it's in its mother's womb. When it is born, it takes breath, and then it can live on its own. So long as it has breath, it has life. Jesus told Nicodemus that to enter the kingdom of God, to be saved, he had to be reborn of water and the Spirit. The new life Paul speaks of here is just that breath of life. And now recall Psalm 104. O Lord, what a variety of things you have made. In wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. Here is the ocean, vast and wide, teeming with life of every kind, both great and small. See the ships sailing along, and Leviathan, which you made to play in the sea. Every one of these depends on you to give them their food as they need it. When you supply it, they gather it. You open your hand to feed them, and they are satisfied. But if you turn away from them, they panic. When you take away their breath, they die and turn again to dust. Again and again, the Scriptures speak to us of the Holy Spirit as breath, as life. I want you to try something just for a few seconds. Without taking a breath in, stop breathing. Just do it. Don't take a breath in. In fact, let your breath out just for a moment. And now hold it right there. Just hold it right there. Keep holding it as I speak. Pay attention. You've let your breath out. You're holding it without breathing. Without breathing. Don't breathe. Just hold it there. Pay attention to what you feel. And the longer you do it, the more frightening it becomes. It's scary, isn't it? Okay, breathe. The psalmist speaks of the life of the creatures on earth, how they are all fed by God, and how when he turns away from them, they panic. When he withdraws their breath, they die. We all experience just that same panic and that fear when we don't breathe. As a young baby coming out of the womb cannot live on its own unless it breathes, so we cannot live in relationship to God without the Holy Spirit given to us, without the holy breath that we breathe, and without the Holy Spirit, the holy breath, we have no peace. You see how these are put together, how they are connected. Without the Spirit, it is like what happens when we stop breathing. We get anxious. We become frightened because that which gives us life has stopped. The peace that we do not have in this world is because we do not have peace inside. And we do not have peace inside if we do not breathe, if we do not have the Holy Breath, the Holy Spirit living in us, breathing in us, giving us life. Without it, we become anxious. Then our outer life begins to reflect that anxiety. And that isn't what God wants for us. For reasons beyond our comprehension, God loves us and desires relationship with us, covenant with us. For reasons beyond our comprehension, God loves us and desires to give us mercy. For reasons beyond our comprehension, God loves us and desires to save every last one of us and give us breath, the Holy Spirit. We will never fully comprehend why, but all we need to do is say yes. Yes, I would like to breathe. Yes, I would like your presence living in me. Yes, I would like rich relationship with you. What God desires of us is us. And so, let each of us make this very personal. Pray something like this, but in your own words, Lord, I seek a rich relationship with you as close as my very breath, not simply a set of instructions, doctrines, or ways to behave, but you living with me and in me. I ask your forgiveness for all the things I've done that have kept me from you. Come to live with me, in me, through me. Make this covenant with you full. That close as the breath that goes to every cell of your body. Pray for that kind of covenant, that relationship, that close, and that rich. Now and every day, it is peace, mercy, it is breath of life. Now, I want to make one important point here about this rich relationship with God and the presence of the Holy Spirit in us. This is promised in Scripture for every single believer. And yet, it's also true that many of us have grown up in denominations where either the Holy Spirit was heavily emphasized or not. I grew up in a congregation and in a church where we were taught about the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit pretty much only in passing and only by name. No sense of what it meant to have the Holy Spirit living in us, even though that was promised. There are other kinds of congregations that people are raised in or join where the Holy Spirit is a primary focus of all of the activity, the presence and supernatural activity of the Holy Spirit, whether that is in tongues or prophecy or any other of many miraculous gifts mentioned in Scripture. And so I would like to take a moment for each of us to give some grace and some mercy to people raised in cultures and denominations that had a different emphasis than the one that we live in right now, whatever one that might be. The Holy Spirit certainly is promised to each and every one of us, and the gifts of the Holy Spirit are promised to work through us, and there are many, many gifts, some of which are supernatural, that are promised in Scripture. But the real fundamental takeaway from all of this conversation about the Holy Spirit is that He is promised to us to live in our heart and our mind in order to deepen that relationship with God, the relationship with us. The Holy Spirit is the gift of God in us to bring us into the bosom of the family of God.
Once again, we're tying together different elements of faith as the Holy Spirit is identified as an important part of peace. Thank you, George. That wraps up our discussion for today. And we hope you'll join us next time for What We Believe and Why.